Welcome to episode 66 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for the week of March 26th, 2007. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Welcome to another episode of the Fredcast. Tons of racing news this week. Plus, Google gives bikes to staffers. LeBron James buys into a bicycle company. Portland might offer bike rentals. A bicycle recall, and news of the weird. Following the news, I'm going to be following up on a bunch of listener email, voicemails, then some shoutouts, and a ton of upcoming rides and events. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Fredcast is brought to you by Cambria Bicycle Outfitters at www.cambriabike.com. And now a new special offer for Fredcast listeners from CBO. Go to www.thefredcast.com and click the CBO link on the left-hand side of the page to get free shipping on orders of $50 or more. Cambria Bicycle Outfitters, they outfit the world. Hey, welcome back to the Fredcast, and before we get to the news, a couple of announcements and a couple of items that I wanted to mention to you. Again, you'll remember that last week I mentioned that the Fredcast socks are finally available, and you responded. We've been very busy shipping out socks right and left every single day to all corners of the globe, and that is fantastic. If you want to get yours, go to www.thefredcast.com and click the link on the right-hand side of the page with the picture of, shh, don't tell her, it's my wife's foot in the sock. And get your pair of socks today, or buy two or three. We really appreciate it very much, and thank you for supporting the Fredcast. A couple of announcements for you if you haven't noticed already. Number one, I issued a Fredcast Extra earlier this week, actually over the weekend, and this is the speech that Mayor Jerry Abramson from Louisville, Kentucky, here in the United States, gave to the National Bike Summit just a couple of weeks ago. It is an inspirational speech, and it really shows how one politician who's passionate about cycling can really make changes in a local community. The speech is fantastic. You've responded very favorably to it. Go ahead and give a listen. Coming up very soon in the next couple of days, I will also be presenting to you the speech that Trex president John Burke gave to the National Bike Summit a couple of weeks ago. This is also very inspirational because it shows how one individual who's passionate about cycling advocacy can make a big difference, especially when they're a bicycle manufacturer, especially when they're encouraging other bicycle manufacturers to get involved in cycling advocacy. I know you're going to really appreciate and enjoy this speech, and I want to thank John Burke personally for allowing me the opportunity to present the speech to you in its entirety. And then the last announcement for today, I wanted to let you know that coming up next week on the other podcast that I do, and that's the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast, we're going to be discussing John Burke's speech, grassroots cycling advocacy, and how to start an effort in your local community. Plus, my fellow spokesman Tim Jackson and Carlton Reed went to the Taipei show earlier this week. That's the Taipei International Cycle Show. And they're going to be presenting a report on what they saw there and what the upcoming trends are and what you will soon see on the floor of your local independent bike dealer. So if you're not subscribed to the Spokesman, now's a great time to do so. I'll put a link in the show notes. And if you just want to go to our website and check out what we've been doing over the last year or so, it's www.the-spokesman.com. All right, that's enough announcements. I got about 4 minutes already on this. Let's get right to the news. Well, unfortunately, the first story I have for you tonight is not a good one, and it concerns Australian cyclist Damien McDonald. Now, McDonald was the gold medalist at the 1994 Commonwealth Games in Victoria, Canada, and sadly, he was killed last weekend in what witnesses have described as a horrific crash that occurred in a tunnel in Melbourne, Australia. Apparently what happened, according to Australian newspapers, there was an 8-car crash that apparently happened. There was a truck that was stopped and all sorts of cars were weaving to get around it. And then there was an impact and eight vehicles were involved. And they said that the fire had temperatures of over 1,000 degrees and that there was a huge fireball that erupted from the crash scene. And they said that it caused more than 400 people to have to leave their cars and exit the tunnel. It sounded like it was just a hellish scene. Apparently, there's some security cameras that are inside the tunnel, and they showed exactly what happened, and they showed the entire accident. McDonald was retired from cycling, yet the chief executive for Cycling Australia, Graham Fredericks, was quoted, according to Agence France-Presse, as saying that McDonald, quote, played a prominent role in Australia's road cycling high-performance program in the 1990s and was a valued member of the Australian road cycling team in World Championship, Commonwealth Games, and Olympic Games competition. He went on to say, quote, our hearts go out to his wife, Bree, and the couple's young son as they try to cope with the loss of a wonderful husband and father. And I think the entire cycling community shares those same sentiments in wishing Bree McDonald and her children our condolences and our prayers, and just all the best for the future. It's a very sad story. Meanwhile, on the racing circuit, one of the stories that I've been talking to you about here on the Fredcast for the last couple of months is the issue of the Unibet cycling team and the problems that they have in racing in France. Because in France, according to ASO, the organizers of the Tour de France and several other major cycling events in that country, it is not legal to advertise gambling companies. And as a result, they've banned Unibet from participating in their events. So here's what Unibet has now done. Because they're not able to race in France and because there are so many major events in France, they now have a new name and new jerseys just for racing in France. And the new name is Canyon. Canyon is a German bike manufacturer and they are the co-sponsor of the team. But when they race in France, Unibet will now be called Canyon. I think it's a lot of hoops that they have to jump through. And quite honestly, I think it's quite silly, but that's the way it is. And according to team manager Cohen Terran, he said, quote, this is our only possibility. And then he went on to say, because there's a race that was last weekend called the Cholet Pays de Loire, and it was the first team that they, pardon me, it was the first race that they'd be able to do in France. And he said, quote, then the French will see whether we are professional or not. So I think he's thumbing his nose a bit at the French, and quite frankly, I don't blame him. And of course, that story begs the question, how did the Canyon / Unibet team do at the race last Sunday? Well, they had a rider who came in ninth place. Coming in ninth place in that race was Jonas Ljungblad from Sweden. And what's interesting is if you go to the Eurosport.com website, he's listed as being on the Unibet team, not on the Canyon team. Now, even though they are racing under the Canyon name in France and not under the Unibet name, they're still not invited to Paris-Roubaix. And I think that's a crime. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I guess the French disagree. Well, when we last met, we were talking about the Pro Tour event Tirreno Adriatico. And at the time, Andreas Kloden was leading the field in the general classification. Now, going into the final stage on Tuesday, Kloden had a 3-second lead over his closest competitor, second place Kim Kirchin. And Kloden was able to maintain that lead and actually pick up one extra second in an intermediate sprint, thereby taking first place in the general classification in this year's Tirreno Adriatico. Coming in first place, again, Andreas Kloden from Team Astana. Second went to Kim Kirchin from T-Mobile. Third, there he is, one of the Tour de France contenders, Alexander Vinokourov from Team Astana. Fourth, Stefan Schumacher from Gerold Steiner. And in fifth place, Janez Brajovic from the Discovery Channel. Not to be outdone, sixth place went to Discovery Channel's, what appears to be Discovery Channel's main rival this year, Jens Voigt from Team CSC. CSC and Discovery really seem to be right up there every single time. Seventh went to Vasil Kiryenka from Tinkoff, and that's Tyler Hamilton's team. Eighth, Yevgeny Petrov from Tinkoff. Ninth, Michel Scarponi from Acqua e Sapone Mocambo. And 10th went to Michael Bogard from the Rabobank team. Now, winning that final stage was Koldo Fernandez from the Euskaltel-Euskadi team, just barely beating out Stuart O'Grady from Team CSC, who took 2nd place. And 3rd went to Gabriel Balducci from Acqua e Sapone Mocambo. Now, immediately following Tirreno Adriatico was the 3rd Pro Tour event of the year and the 1st of cycling's fabled monuments, Milan San Remo. And this one, unfortunately, Ivan Basso from the Discovery team was not able to ride because of a wrist injury, yet world champion Paolo Bettini did ride with a cracked rib. Bettini's cracked rib, as well as his bruised chest muscle, came after he ran into a signpost during Tirreno Adriatico. And according to reports, Bettini said, quote, "I went hard to simulate race conditions during a training ride, and I suddenly felt a sharp pain in my ribs. I couldn't breathe and had to stop riding. I did some checks in the hospital and discovered I've got a cracked rib and a large bruise on my chest muscle. I'm not in a lot of pain when I'm walking, but it does hurt when I go hard on my bike." Now, this is why this man is a world champion. Because if you or I had a cracked rib or a bruised chest muscle, especially if we had both, I don't know that we'd be getting on our bike and going all out the way these guys have to do in an event like Milan San Remo. So congratulations to Paolo Bettini for getting on his bike and getting out there and competing with the rest of them. This is what makes a world champion. Now, a few moments ago, I referred to Milan San Remo by the term monument. Now, the monuments are 5 of the most revered cycling races in the world, and they include the Milan San Remo, the Ronde van Vlaanderen, also known as the Tour of Flanders, by the way, Paris-Roubaix, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, and the Giro di Lombardia. I have to say that right. Remember, I had one of my listeners who said that I didn't. Now, there are also the cycling classics, Milan-San Remo, the Tour of Flanders, Paris-Roubaix, Amstel Gold, Flèche Wallonne, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, Rund den Henningerturm, Classica de San Sebastian, Zurich-Metzgete, Paris-Brussels, Paris-Tours, and again, the Giro di Lombardia. So if you're having trouble keeping straight what's a classic and what's a monument, don't worry about it. I put a link in the show notes to the Wikipedia article where I found this information, because I certainly do have a hard time keeping some of this straight. I mean, we all know these names. They're all very familiar to us. Nevertheless, what's a classic? What's a monument? Sorry, folks, I have a hard time keeping it straight. I go to Wikipedia for that as well. Even though my daughters are always telling me Wikipedia is not a good source, Dad. Now let's talk a little bit about the results of this year's Milan-San Remo. This year's Milan-San Remo was 294 kilometers, and it was won by Oscar Freire from Rabobank. He did it in 6 hours, 43 minutes, and 59 seconds. Freire and the others who finished with him at the end of the race had to chase down a 3-rider break, which happened very near the end of the race, consisting of Franco Pellizzotti of Italy, Yaroslav Popovich of the Ukraine, and Andrea Moletta of Italy. Once they were chased down, Freire was able to win the race by 2 bike lengths over the 2nd place finisher, Alan Davis from the Discovery Channel team, and 3rd place, Tom Bonin from Belgium. 4th went to Robbie McEwen, and 5th to Stuart O'Grady. One person who was definitely considered a favorite before the race was Tor Hushovd. He did not end up entering this year's race due to a stomach illness. And apparently it was pretty wet out there throughout most of the race course, and there were several crashes that happened. One of them included David Kopp of Germany, who fell on a downhill and actually had to be taken away in an ambulance. Now, following Tirreno Adriatico and Milan San Remo, we now have new standings in this year's Pro Tour, and here's where we stand. In first place right now, Alberto Contador from the Discovery Channel team. 2nd, Andreas Kloden from Astana. 3rd place, Oscar Freire from Rabobank. 4th place, David Rebellin from Gerolsteiner. 5th, Kim Kirchen from T-Mobile. 6th, Alan Davis from Discovery. In 7th, Alexander Vinokourov from Team Astana. In 8th, Luis Leon Sanchez from Casse d'Epargnier. 9th, Tom Bonin from Quickstep. And in 10th place, Stefan Schumacher from the Gerolsteiner team. And as far as the team standings, in first place right now is Casse d'Epargne, in second, Discovery, and in third place, Team CSC. Now, the next Pro Tour event is the Tour of Flanders, and that's going to be taking place on April the 8th, so just about 2 weeks from now. Tom Bonin of Belgium, however, won the Across Flanders race last week, which is a precursor to the Tour of Flanders, and he won it in 4 hours, 45 minutes, and 22 seconds. Folks are saying that as a result of winning the Across Flanders race, as well as coming in third at Milan-San Remo, that Bonin looks to be a real favorite for the upcoming Tour of Flanders, and we'll see what happens on April 8th. And of course, as always, I'll bring you the results right here on the Fredcast. Well, while we're talking about professional cycling, I thought it would be interesting to note something that showed up in the March issue of Cycle Sport magazine, and something that I wanted to mention here, because this isn't something that we normally see in the world of professional cycling, and this is a list of the salaries of the top 10 best paid professional cyclists. I found it really interesting, especially when you consider, well, look at the recent deal that David Beckham made here in the United States for what he's going to be paid for playing professional soccer. In case you're not familiar, Beckham's going to be making about $28 million for playing with the Los Angeles-based Galaxy soccer team, and that's for 5 years. Now let's look at what professional cyclists are being paid according to Cycle Sport magazine. And let's start David Letterman style with number 10, Tor Husoft from Norway at $1.3 million per year. Number 9, Eric Zabel at $1.6 million a year. In 8th place, Robbie McEwen from Australia at $1.6 million a year. 7th, there he is again, Alexander Vinokourov, $1.7 million. Damiano Cuniego comes in at 6th at $1.8 million. Ivan Basso from Discovery, 5th at $2 million. Alessandro Petacchi in 4th place at $2.2 million. Tom Bonin, we just mentioned him, $2.6 million in third place. Second place, world champion Paolo Bettini, $3.3 million a year. And the first place, most highest paid professional cyclist as of right now, 26-year-old Alejandro Valverde from Spain in the Casse d'Epargne team at $3.8 million. For what it's worth, it's been noted that in Lance Armstrong's last year in professional cycling, he earned about $18 million. So, if you're young, and if you're an excellent cyclist, keep doing what you're doing, because you too could be earning a handsome salary for doing what you already love doing. As for me, I'm too old, so I'll just keep doing the Fredcast. Well, one last bit of professional cycling news, and this one is for those of you who are in the Southeast United States, because there have been rumors over the last few months and a lot of stories about the fact that with Ford pulling out of the title sponsorship of the Tour of Georgia, that the Tour of Georgia was, well, they were in a bit of a financial hole, because these races are not cheap to put on, and the Tour of Georgia has not yet found, as of this recording, has not yet found a title sponsor. Now, there are all sorts of rumblings about the fact that they might find one or they might not, and there were people wondering that if they didn't find a title sponsor, would the show go on? Well, it has been confirmed that yes, indeed, the show certainly will go on. And as a matter of fact, it's said that the state budget that's currently being proposed in the state of Georgia includes $1 million for the Tour of Georgia, because as you can imagine, an event like the Tour of Georgia coming through the state is very good for the economy of the local communities through which the race goes. So it's nice to know that the Tour of Georgia will be going on, and they have announced the teams that will be confirmed and racing in this year's race. And they include Team CSC, Team Discovery, Quickstep, Predictor Lotto, Sonier Duval. Also, of course, there are some local American U.S. Continental squads, including Jittery Joe's, Priority Health, Toyota United, BMC, and Colavita Sutter Home, plus some pro continental squads from Europe, including HealthNet, Team Slipstream, Navigators Insurance, and look who's there. It's Tinkoff Credit Systems. That means that Tyler Hamilton will be riding in a professional event for the first time back in the United States since his suspension due to doping allegations. And finally, the USA Cycling National Development Team will also be joining us at this year's Tour of Georgia. One other note about the Tour of Georgia, and this came to me in an email from a listener. It seems that three individuals who are associated with the Tour of Georgia were injured recently in a car crash, and we wanted to wish them our best wishes for a speedy recovery, and that includes Team HealthNet's time trial specialist, Nathan O'Neill, Tour of Georgia's communications director, Jackie Tyson, and the Georgia Cancer Coalition's Judy Staten. Apparently, they were injured last week when Tyson's Toyota 4Runner hit a guardrail and rolled over after being hit from behind on I-75. And they were out in the area because they were on a whistle-stop tour going through a number of the host cities for this year's Tour of Georgia. And, of course, accidents do happen, and we wish all of them a speedy recovery and that they will be back up to their normal selves and ready when the Tour of Georgia begins in really just a couple of weeks. So our best wishes to them. Well, now here's a story that is really great for Google employees. Wait, don't get excited. Only some Google employees. Google in Europe has decided to give 2,000 bikes manufactured by Raleigh Europe to 2,000 of its employees in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. And what's really cool is that each of the bikes and the helmets that come with them are going to be branded with the Google name. And I think that's really cool. According to Leanne Hornsey, who's the Director of Human Resources and Staffing for Google Europe, Middle East, and Africa, quote, "We try to innovate not just in technology for users, but in the benefits we give our employees. We think that these amazing bikes will help Googlers, keep fit and healthy, get to know their city better, and reduce the environmental impact of their journey to work." So I think it's great. I just hope that they consider doing the same thing for the U.S. employees, because I'm sure that they too would like to see some Google bikes. And I've been checking out eBay. So far, the only thing I've seen there that has anything to do with Google that might have to do with bikes is people misspelling the word goggles. So people are selling helmets and Googles. But I haven't seen any Google bikes there yet. If you do and you see any on eBay, let me know, and I'll put a link on the show notes as well as on the Fredcast.com website, because I think all of us would like to see what these Google bikes end up looking like, because I have no idea how they're outfitted, and I'd really be interested to see what exactly Google has done for their employees. Well, here's a story that comes to us from our old friend Carlton Reed over at BikeBiz.com and BikeBiz Magazine, and not to forget QuickRelease.tv and the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast. Carlton reports that LeBron James, who is a basketball player with the National Basketball Association's Cleveland Cavaliers, has invested some of his very handsome salary, and again, I think he's paid more than professional cyclists, he's invested some of that in U.S. bicycle manufacturer Cannondale. Now, one of the connections between LeBron James and Cannondale is the fact that LeBron and Cannondale have teamed up for what's called the James Family Foundation's annual King for Kids Bike-a-thon, which is a charity bike ride event in Akron, Ohio, to benefit children and single mothers. And for the 2006 Bike-a-thon, the company designed and manufactured a custom bike for LeBron James based on their Caffeine model. Now, Carlton quotes Cannondale CEO Matt Manley as saying, quote, "LeBron is an astute entrepreneur and investor who recognizes the quality of our products and value of our business, and he will certainly extend the awareness of the benefits of cycling to more people." No doubt about that. One of the great things about any athlete in the United States, whether it's a football player, a basketball player, baseball, hockey, kids really love to emulate these professional athletes because they, for a lot of people, they are role models. So if they can advocate cycling, I think that it is a great thing because it will get people, especially kids, out from in front of the TV and instead behind a pair of handlebars, getting in shape and enjoying cycling. And I think that that's good for cycling in general, as well as for our society. So congratulations to LeBron James and congratulations to Cannondale. And thanks again to Carlton Reed at Bike Biz for bringing that to our attention. Speaking of getting more people on bicycles, here's an idea that I really like. One of the things we've talked about several times on the Fredcast recently is various cities and municipalities who are offering free bicycles to allow their citizens to be able to pedal around and then leave the bicycle wherever their destination is so that somebody else can pick it up and then go along their merry way on a bike. Now, that idea failed in the city of Portland, Oregon. We've talked about Portland before. Portland is perhaps the most bike-friendly city in the United States, with all apologies to Louisville, Kentucky, and to Mayor Jerry Abramson. Portland is well known as being a very bicycle-friendly city. So when their idea of providing free bikes failed, City Commissioner Sam Adams came up with another idea, and this was something that he learned when he was on a recent trip to Lyon, France. His idea there is to offer bicycle rentals so that there'd be a bicycle rental company subsidized by the taxpayers in Portland, Oregon, that would get more people on bikes, less people in cars. Now, according to Allison Hill from the nonprofit Community Cycling Center, quote, "This could be a great option for people who just want to give a bike a try. If you could pay $5 to use one for a quick errand or for part of the day, wouldn't you?" And from my perspective, imagine if there was somebody in Portland who wanted to go to a job interview, yet this individual didn't have access to a car or to transportation. You know what? If they could rent a bike for a couple of bucks a day and be able to get from their home to the job interview, then think how good that would be for the local economy. So this is a great idea, something that I hope really succeeds. And if I find out that it does, I'll certainly let you know here on the Fredcast. And if you want more information about this, I'm betting that you'll be able to find it on the bikeportland.org website, which is also a great place for a lot of bicycle advocacy news. And I will be sure to put a link in the show notes. Next up, something else I always talk about here on the Fredcast anytime it comes up, because I think it's too important not to mention. Unfortunately, it's another recall in the bicycle business. And this one's going to be a little bit different than some of the other ones that I've brought to you before, because instead of some high-end, high-zoot component or really expensive carbon fiber bike, this is a low-end product. But because of the numbers involved, I thought it was important to mention to you. These are bicycles that are marketed under the Dynacraft name, and typically these are children's bikes that were sold in Target stores. But there were about 32,000 of them sold, and so I thought that I might want to bring it to you, because the problem here is that the bicycle frame could crack, and you can imagine what that would do, because if it cracked, you could certainly lose control, and you could probably be in for a number of injuries. And when we're talking about kids here, this isn't something that we want to see. And apparently, the company has received two reports of cracked frames resulting in injuries. The specific models involved are the Triax PK7 and Vertical PK7, and these were 20-inch aluminum cushion-framed bikes. And the Triax model was manufactured between October 2005 and May 2006. The Vertical model was manufactured between August 2004 and December 2004. You can find the model numbers and the manufacture dates on a label. What appears to me from the picture to be somewhere near the bottom bracket, but it's affixed to the bike frame. The model numbers you want to look for are 8509-24 and 8596-71T. These bikes were sold in Target stores throughout the United States from September 2004 through early February 2007, and they sold for about $100. And of course, as always, if you have an affected frame or you suspect that you have an affected frame, make sure that your kids don't ride it anymore. Go to your nearest Target store, and it says that you will get a full refund, including whatever sales tax there was. And of course, as always, I've put a link in the show notes to the Dynacraft website, the Target website, and also to the Consumer Product Safety Commission website. So go out in the garage right now and check your kids' bikes. Don't worry, I'll still be here when you get back. Okay, and finally, tonight I have news of the weird, and this one I just have to read verbatim because it's too bizarre, and it says a 44-year-old woman was in custody today after attacking several people in Garden Grove, this is in Orange County, California, while riding a bicycle and wearing a shirt identifying her as a police officer, authorities said. Several children, elderly women, and grown men said they were attacked yesterday by the woman who wore a polo shirt that read police, said Garden Grove Lieutenant Travis Whitman. He said she impersonated a police officer in the area of Stanford Avenue and Nutwood Street as she terrorized school children on their way to school, frisked and robbed a man, and assaulted a child. Quote, "She was just crazy. She pounded little kids, pushed old ladies into the ground. She just went nuts," said Garden Grove Police Sergeant Scott Watson. The woman whose name was being withheld was linked to more than 10 attacks and suspected of felony robbery, impersonating an officer, and criminal threats. The woman was arrested by a plainclothes officer at 1:30 yesterday afternoon. Officials added that her residence was searched and the stolen items were recovered. No serious injuries were reported as a result of her attacks, said the police. Okay, how bizarre is that? And it's just one more person on a bike giving the rest of us a bad name. And with that very strange story, here ends the news for this week. Well, I knew this would happen. We're already 30 minutes into the show, and this is the reason why the rest of the show is all about you listeners and about upcoming events, because this show has been very packed with news. First up, I have a great voicemail from listener Matt in Stockton, and he wanted to comment on a recent story that I did here on the Fredcast about the doctor who sued the young lady who was rollerblading because of the accident that they had. And he also wanted to comment on something that I don't get a whole lot of comments on usually, but on this one I did. This was our most recent PodSafe cycling music. So here's listener Matt.
Hey David, it's Matt from Stockton, California. Hey, just heard your recent show. I'm glad to have you back. I wanted to make a comment about the doctor that sued the kid. You know, I kept thinking that there was going to be some reason that the kid drifted off or whatever. But now after listening to it, it sounds like it's the doctor's fault. I mean, we all know if we're going to pass somebody, the last thing we want to yell is "Watch out." That's like a magnet. That's what draws people to you. What happened to a simple on your left? And slow down. That doctor wasn't going slow at all. But to yell "watch out," that's the first thing I taught my kids. Is that's the worst thing you can say to somebody. Anyway, that guy's a real winner in my mind. Hey, I'm not a Code Monkey, but that Code Monkey song, I listened to that two or three times after the end of your show. That is absolutely hilarious. Anyway, great song selection, great show, and keep it up.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I appreciate that very, very much. And you know, it's really funny. I get a lot of comments from people saying, you know, sometimes I don't listen to your PodSafe cycling music at the end of the show, but for this song, I got a lot of really great feedback. No joke here, folks. Even my 14-year-old daughter asked me to email her the songs that she could put on her iPod because she can't stop singing it. And quite frankly, I can't get it out of my head either. So I'm really glad that you like that. I do spend a lot of time trying to find great music for the end of the show. And for those of you that enjoy it, I appreciate it very much when you let me know. And the best way to support the people who provide that music is to click the links in the show notes every week and go ahead and download the songs, whether they be from the artist individual websites or from iTunes. And I always try to provide the iTunes links for you as well, because that's the best way to support independent music, because they are supporting all of us out here in podcasting land. Now, speaking of PodSafe cycling music, I got an email recently from listener Bob, and he was taking me to task on something, and I answered him in an email, but I thought that it was important enough for me to read Bob's letter or Bob's question and then read you my response so that you could make sure that you get the full understanding of where I stand on this particular issue. Now, before I begin, I really don't want to open up a tempest in a teapot here. I don't want to start another mandatory helmet laws exchange, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from. So let me read what Bob had to say. Bob said, "Hi there, I love your podcasts, but," and then two lines down in capitals, "but," two lines later, "I hate that you promote listening to iPods on rides. It is so dangerous and counter to every common sense safety rule that one can think of. It is illegal to drive when listening to headphones, and it either is or should be illegal to ride that way. Please reconsider. Sincerely, Bob." Bob, I really did appreciate your email, and I hope that you appreciated my response. Here's what I said to Bob. I said, "Hi, Bob. Thanks for your email and for listening to the Fredcast. I'm glad you enjoy the show. I can't disagree with you when you say that listening to an iPod can be dangerous when riding a bike or driving a car. Anything that distracts someone from paying attention to the world around them and the potential dangers inherent therein decreases the safety of the person listening to the device. This can also be true, of course, when using a cell phone, checking email on your BlackBerry, or just turning your car stereo up too loud. In most places, however, listening to an iPod or using any other form of headphones while cycling is not by itself illegal. In most places around the United States, for instance, the law simply requires cyclists to only wear one headphone, much like cell phone users who have a headset in only one ear. There are, however, some locations where the use of any headphones by cyclists, even if only in one ear, is totally illegal. Now, there's no doubt that I've talked about cycling with iPods on my show before, but I have always tried, and I underline tried to preface those statements by saying that one should follow the laws of their community and only use them as the law allows. If I've failed to make this warning every time, then I will endeavor not to allow this to happen again in the future. In fact, and this goes without saying now, I'll read your email on my next show. Don't worry, I won't use your full name, and I'll read this reply too. Like you, I want to be certain that my listeners ride as safely as possible. Now, having said all of that, I want to point out a couple of things. First, although I do ride with my iPod fairly often, I don't think that my show endorses or promotes the use of iPods while riding. I realize that I start every show by saying, if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder. And yeah, it's true. This could really certainly be construed as my endorsing the use of earphones while riding. But I think, and I hope that this is true, I think that my audience understands that this is just a slogan. Yes, it's also possible that some people listen to my show while on their indoor trainer or in a gym. And in that case, go right ahead, folks. Use your iPods. Put them into both ears. My personal choice to ride with an iPod is done with the knowledge that I have to do so as safely and intelligently as possible. This means that I only wear one earphone when I'm on the street, and that even when I'm off the street, I keep the volume at a level where I can hear what's around me. These days, by the way, I find myself listening more to podcasts than to music, because when I'm listening to a podcast, it is much easier to hear what's going on around me. If I'm listening to music, it really sort of envelops the whole ear, and I really can't hear very much. So I find myself listening to podcasts a great way to keep up on the dozens that I have stored on my iPod at any given time. That's also one of the reasons why I like the products from Slipstreams, something that I talked about when I went to Interbike last year, because they allow me to listen to music or podcast while still being able to hear the world around me, because they minimize all that wind noise, and then I definitely hear much better. I went on in my letter to say, in the end, the choice about whether to use an iPod while cycling comes down to common sense. Since I've learned that my show and my views are important to my listeners, I will endeavor to be more responsible in my mention of listening devices and the dangers inherent in using them while cycling. Thanks for bringing this important matter to my attention, Bob, and please don't hesitate to let me know if I slip up again. And then I mentioned, by the way, you may have heard about the New York lawmaker who's trying to make it illegal to listen to an iPod, use a cell phone, or check your email on a BlackBerry simply while walking in New York City. Personally, I don't like that law. I think it's kind of ridiculous because, once again, sorry guys, it's common sense. If you're going to be walking across the street and you're going to be looking at your BlackBerry and you get hit by a taxi cab because you didn't see them coming up as you stepped off the curb, you know what? This is where Darwin comes in, guys. If you need to use your common sense and you need to be smart. But let's go back to what I had to say about iPods, because I really want to be clear about this. There are times when, if done safely, if only worn in one ear, using an iPod can be done safely. But there are other times, putting it in both ears, listening to your music at a level where you can't hear what's going on around you, using your iPod in club rides or organized group rides like centuries and half centuries and things like that, that is just simply a bad idea, totally unsafe, and shows that you don't have the common sense or the common courtesy to take care of not only yourself, but also those people around you. So here's my common sense advice. If you choose to use a listening device while you ride, put it only in one ear, not in both. Don't use it on group rides and club rides and organized rides. And if you listen to it, make sure that that one ear phone's volume is at a level that will still allow you to hear people coming up behind you and calling on your left, that will allow you to hear traffic, allow you to hear pedestrians, and keep yourself safe. If you can't follow those rules, then my personal opinion is leave the iPod at home and just go out there and enjoy the ride. Again, not trying to be your nanny, not trying to be your mom, but I do want to keep you safe. I want you listening to the Fredcast, and I want you cycling for many, many years to come. And Bob, thank you very much for your email. It was a great opportunity for me to repeat what I think is an important safety message for the listeners. Next up is a voicemail I received from listener Ken. And you may recall, well, now several months ago, I got an email from a listener who wanted some advice on cycling in France. And quite honestly, I did not get a lot of great feedback on that question. But listener Ken gave us some really good advice, and so I thought I'd share it with you. Here's listener Ken.
Hi, David. This is Ken calling. I wanted to respond to an older podcast of yours. I'm catching up on some back issues, being a new listener. And you had requested some suggestions for cycling in France. And I happen to have a place in Bédouin, which is in the Vaucluse area of Provence, right at the base of Mont Ventoux. And I can say that the cycling there is really terrific. There's, of course, the classic ride up Ventoux for those who are able to do that. And there's three different ways to get up to the top. It's a great ride. And there's also just a ton of other great cycling in the area. The town of Bédouin, which is where my place is, has several bike shops that offer all the support you could need, including renting high-end bikes in case you don't want to travel with yours. So that's just my suggestion, and it's a wonderful area. There's lots of things to do and great cycling. Thanks again for the Fredcast, and looking forward to catching up with all your back issues and hearing what you have to say in the future.
Ken, great to hear from you, and welcome to the Fredcast. I'm glad to have you on board as a listener, and please do go back. There's a lot of shows for you to catch up on. I hope you enjoy each of them. But thank you again for the comment. I think that it was a great suggestion. I put links in the show notes for Bédouin, for Mont Ventoux, as well as for Vaucluse, so that the listeners can get an idea of what those areas are like. I checked them out. It looks gorgeous. And of course, we all know that Mont Ventoux is a very famous Tour de France climb. So for those of you who are interested, go ahead to www.thefredcast.com and check out the show notes for this week's show. This is show number 66. And check out the area that Ken mentioned. It looks beautiful and looks like a great place to ride. Thanks a lot, Ken. Appreciate hearing from you. Well, we talked earlier about Google giving its employees in Europe and the Middle East and Africa some bicycles. And here's something that I found from listener Rick, who mentioned the fact that ING Direct and their employees came together to build bikes and donate them to kids in need. And so I thought this was really great, and I wanted to give a shout out to the ING Direct employees as well as to their CEO, Arkady Coleman. What they did was they gave 60 bikes to Adopt a Family in Delaware, 30 to Minnesota North Shore Collaborative, and 20 to kids in Los Angeles. I love it when corporations and their employees get involved in community development the way that ING has, and I hope that they and other corporations will continue to promote cycling and will continue to provide bicycles to kids in need. So congratulations to ING Direct and especially Arkady Coleman, their CEO. Now, the next shout out that I wanted to give is to The Cycle Dog. And The Cycle Dog is a blogger. You can find The Cycle Dog's blog at cycledog.blogspot.com. And I'm mentioning it here because just there have been a couple of really funny posts that The Cycle Dog has put up. And I thought that for those of you who may not be familiar with The Cycle Dog's work, this would be a great time for you to go over to cycledog.blogspot.com and check out what's going on there. You know, we've mentioned other bloggers before, Cyclicious, The Crooked Cog, and others. And so I just wanted to mention Cycle Dog. Give him a shout out. Go ahead and check out his site. I think that you'll enjoy the posts. Okay, last up, before we finish off the show, I have a number of upcoming rides and events that I wanted to mention to you. These are in April and May of this year. And the first one on April 7th, 2007 is the U.S. Open Cycling Championships, which is a road race, professional road race that's going to be taking place in the Virginia area. It's going to go from Williamsburg to Richmond, Virginia. And what's really great is it's also going to be broadcast in the United States on NBC Sports that same day from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, the U.S. Open was developed in partnership with USA Cycling and is sanctioned by the UCI. The men's event is part of the 2006-2007 UCI America Tour, but there is also a women's event, and I've put a link in the show notes to where you can find that. And by the way, I do know that one of our listeners is going to be one of the cameramen who's going to be handling the finding those great shots that we can all see on NBC. So shout out to Greg for doing that. Thanks for bringing us those great pictures from out there on the road. Following that, on April the 21st, 2007, is one of my favorite events every year, and it turns out that every year I have some conflict that keeps me from being able to participate in it, but hopefully you won't have a conflict, and you'll be able to participate in the annual spring Rosarita to Ensenada fun ride that takes place every year down in Baja California, just south of San Diego. This is a fun event. And I did it many years ago. It's about a 50-mile ride. It is not difficult, although there is one big hill in the middle. And I noticed a lot of the people that were out there for the fun ride when I did it, well, let's just say there were a lot of people sitting, a lot of people walking. But it's not that tough, folks. Do a little bit of training, and you'll be just fine. But this is a blast. The whole ride is fun. And then, of course, there's a big fiesta when you get to Ensenada at the end. And it is a lot of fun. Of course, there's a link in the show notes. And by the way, for those of you who are a little bit concerned about the people who are down there on their beach cruisers and on their mountain bikes, you're a little bit worried that maybe they're going to be a little bit in your way, they now have an elite start. And you can find out more about that on the website at rosaritaensenada.com. And of course, links in the show notes. The next ride I wanted to mention to you is called the Pino Pedal, and this is taking place on April 22nd, 2007, and this is taking place in the Portland, Oregon area. This is their first annual Earth Day bike ride and celebration for the promotion of sustainability. And Pino Pedal is bringing together the bicycling community, the sustainable farming community, and the community of urban development. This is going to be a noontime bike ride through Northwest Portland. It starts and ends at Urban Wine Works, and there will be a complimentary refreshment break at Wild Oats along the way. And this is a two-hour ride to benefit BIKE, which stands for Bicycles and Ideas for Kids Empowerment. BIKE facilitates the development of values and life skills essential for productive citizenship in inner-city youth through bicycling, tutoring, year-round mentoring, and leadership training. Of course, there's a link in the show notes. Go ahead and check that one out because that sounds like a great event. A week later, on April 28th, 2007, is our next ride. This one is taking place in the state of Ohio here in the United States. This is the Cyclist Dogwood Tour, and it's about a 50-mile ride along the Scioto River. And it follows a creek valley gradually into the hills and into a little town called Nipchin, known as Possum Trot by early settlers, and where a chicken noodle lunch and other menu items can be purchased at the Nipchin United Methodist Church. This is not an expensive ride. It's only $8. And of course, it's on April the 28th. Go ahead and check that one out. Links are, you guessed it, in the show notes. And finally, this one sounds like a great event. This is May 25th through the 28th, or Memorial Day weekend here in the United States. It's the Great Western Bicycle Rally, which takes place in Paso Robles, California. This is a once-a-year event, and according to the organizers, this is bicycle heaven. It includes route slips for rides from 5 to 100 miles, admission to numerous social activities and competitions, family and kid activities, a vendor marketplace, bike swap and barbecues, an optional supported one-day century and metric century bike ride, a goodie bag, a chance to win door prizes, and of course, this is a quote now, the pleasure of taking a few days off to enjoy what you like to do with family and friends. I put a link in the show notes to where you can find more information on the Great Western Bicycle Rally. And if you do this one, I would love to get a report from you here on the Fredcast. So let me know in advance. Just send me an email. Oh, and this is a great time to start talking about how to contact me here at the Fredcast. Emails can come to me to my email address, which is thefredcast@gmail.com. And of course, those can be text emails, or you can put an audio comment right into your email and send it on off to me as an MP3 or as a WAV file. Or another way to send me an audio comment is to call the Fredcast listener hotline. That's area code 206-203-FRED. And anytime, please visit the website at www.thefredcast.com, where you can find links and show notes, information about the show, as well as the Fredcast forums and all of the photos that are in the photo gallery. Before we go, I wanted to thank Cambria Bicycle Outfitter for sponsoring the Fredcast. Go to www.thefredcast.com, click the CBO link or the Fred's Picks links to find out more information about the special free shipping offer, as well as my picks of the week of some great products that are offered at Cambria Bicycle Outfitter. Before we go, as we do every week, I'm going to bring you PodSafe cycling music, and it comes to us, as always, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's music is a song called Fire Away by a band called Kill the Alarm. Links in the show notes to where you can find them on the PodShow site, Kill the Alarm's own website, as well as where you can find their songs on iTunes. That's going to do it for tonight. Look for our special Fredcast Extra with John Burke speech from the Bike Summit coming up in just a day or so. In the meantime, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
Paint a perfect picture of what you need your life to be. Do you know who you are? You break your back to bring it back to break you. Not this time, they're all gonna find what I'm made of. I don't need you here to validate me. Just what's a change in me to make you notice what you're letting go. This was all part of my plan. Every step I take is my own. I'm sick of watching the sunrise. I'm floating straight.